I call it a youth moment. Open in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And a well-known verse that needs to be revisited. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I might add, if you don't keep it new, you won't be reconciling folk. Let's look at 17 again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. If you don't keep it new, you won't be being used to reconcile too many. The other day I came into the office, and often I try to wait upon the Lord, and I begin to have the Lord impress me of, and I meant to bring this up in Sunday school at a separate page, but we had so much material to cover. But I jotted down learning from the stories in the Bible. You know, I love the stories in the Bible. And I even mentioned this on different occasions, that some and many of them happened only one time in a very unusual way. And I gave a list. Noah to build an ark. And by the way, for those, let me put it this way. God only told Noah to build the ark. He didn't tell his wife. He didn't tell his sons or the sons' wives. He just told Noah. Can you imagine? Noah must have had a good character and a commitment that for his family to go ahead and help him build the ark, they must have trusted Noah when he said, God told me. The scripture does say to believe the prophets. It puts a responsibility. And yet Noah must have been a man of great influence to be able to, I just think that he probably had many others help him build it, but he couldn't get them in it. He must have been financially well off to hire them. I'm only speculating. Building an ark was no small project. But that only happened one time. Samson, who was given strength, no other man did we have ever recorded where they were used continually in a very unusual way. When the anointing came on him, he had strength that could take on anyone. In fact, I find it interesting in Judges 16:26, after he had lost his eyesight and now his hair is, howbeit his hair began to grow back, he said, Lord, only this once use me again. And God used him again. Then we come to Solomon. And no man outside of Christ was ever given the wisdom as Solomon. Only once. Notice the uniqueness in each case. When it comes to the battles that Israel fought, often the strategy was a one-time strategy. Not to be repeated, not to be copied. We'll deal with that a little bit later. Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed by fire from heaven, we only have one account of that. Jesus walking on the water, and allowing Peter to do so only happened one time. Jesus disappearing as he had communion with the two on the road to Emmaus, and Philip used to believe he didn't disappear, but no, I believe he disappeared. Enoch, who did not experience death, for God took him, for he had this testimony that he pleased God. Only one man ever do we ever read where God just said, you just pleased me so much, I'm just going to take you, and he took him. And then you have something similar, but it's not the same, Elijah, who went up in a chariot in a whirlwind one time. Only one time did the axe head swim. Maybe we could think of other events that happened only one time. Back to how the battles were won when Israel would fight. The strategy that was given was only to be used one time. I know we take these stories and we use them as truths, but I like to go to the originality. David was instructed to wait until he heard the wind blow on the top of the mulberry trees as a sign to when to attack. It's only one time that strategy is given in the Bible, and it worked. Gideon was to take pictures with the 300 men and take lights and put them within it. And yes, we make sermons and typologies out of it. We're to die to our flesh that the light can live, and that is true, but this actually happened, but it only happened one time. Joshua was to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times, and then on the 7th day, do it 7 times and shout. It worked, but only one time was that strategy given. I believe there's a reason for that. Digging ditches so that when it rained up in the mountains and it came down, it filled the ditches, and the enemy from afar saw it, and the way the light shined on it, they thought it was blood, and they thought the enemy had been victorious, and they fled. Digging ditches was a one-time deal, but it worked. And then the time when God sent an angel and wiped out 180,000. That's pretty impressive. That's a one-time deal. And then the time when God sent down fire to validate that Jehovah, he was God, and serve him. And Elijah then had over 450 prophets, or some say 900 killed. And on a similar but a much smaller scale, is the prophet sitting on a little hill when the king sent someone to go get him. And he saw the 50 and said, what do you want? Said, we've been sent by the king to come get you. And fire came down, took out the 50. And the word got back to the king. He sent another 50. Another 50 went. And the prophet said, what do you want? Said, we're coming to get the prophet. And fire came down and wiped him out. And word got back to the king. He sent a third 50. And the third 50 got there. And they looked around, saw the burnt body. He said, please don't send down the fire. That only happened one time. That was a sign saying amen. Many miracles, I thought and I brought down, were repeated. Healings and deliverances, signs and wonders. But then I said to myself today, that's not true. They were not on mass scale. Each healing is unique in itself, because you're unique and there's only one you. And so I had to correct my thinking. There was only one woman at the well that received words of knowledge and then left her water pot. There was only one blind Bartimaeus who cried and cried the louder. There was only one woman with the issue of blood. And yes, healings were done by, he sent it out, but I believe with each case, each one was different. Each one was new. And when the scripture says in Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if we're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I've known of people, they haven't kept it new, and it's not new. Religion can get old if the relationship becomes weak. Tradition can set in, and the newness that God intended is not there. And as I was thinking of all these miracles, and when you read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and he gives a list of these miracles, they only happened one time. But God is a God of keeping things new. And after reading all the miracles were unique and different, and I realized God is always doing new things. I know that Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and that's true from that viewpoint. But when you're in the Lord, no, things are new. They're new all the time. And then I just, with my own life and ministry, I began to think, because my family requested for me to write down a small detailed account of all of the things that I've experienced. And I want to say that humbly before the Lord, but they're very real to me. And I began to, as I wrote the list, I realized they only happened one time. And they're all different. As I began to think of them, and you've heard these stories, but let me run through them quickly. I won't go through the story and bore you, but they're very fresh and new. The time I saw the seven red men that was assigned to go to Wairika. And then 2 years later, the green firefly that God spoke to me to leave. And then from that, we went to White Salmon for the next 23 years. In Wairika, when I prayed for a sign and God led me to a billboard, a small sign, and on that sign it had the letters that exactly could spell the name of the church. The time that the Lord spoke to me to ask the man if he had a telescope for sale when I was blind. The time I was in my basement when I kept hearing the ticking in the smoke alarm. And I counted the ticks, and they were 30 seconds or 20 seconds apart. And then after I couldn't get the sound to dim out and turning on the radio to drown it out, a commercial comes on, and there it says that smoke alarms, when they begin to go bad, will give off a ticking sound, and they're 20 seconds apart. I jumped around in my basement like a squirrel caught, not being let go. The time of the clothespin story. The time I remember it, I happened here when God laid on my heart what it would take to validate that He was with me, to let somebody sing Camp Town Lady, and that happened. The time I lost a contact and I was in the backyard and I saw a bug and asked the Lord to lead the bug to find my contact, and it happened. The time I told brothers Mark Armstrong to check his scaffolding, I see problems, and it happened. I remember telling Mark before he died of the Lord gave me a word, and these are all different about the lady that is in your church. I see a young lady about 15, 14, and she's pregnant and scared, and that came to pass. The time I was youth pastor and I didn't know what to do and was underpaid and didn't know what to do, and the Lord verbally used a radio commercial to say, come, I'd already been sensing to go to Ventura back to my parents when a commercial came on up in Roseburg that said, come on down to Ventura and find out what's happening there. It was a car salesman, but it was different. The time I was invited to Hawaii, and there I met this leader of this organization. The Lord gave me a word on the lady that when you were a girl, you loved the smell of gasoline. The time a little boy was in my church, and I saw him as he was leaving, and I saw a frog in a jar, and I told him, I see a frog in the jar. And his mother began to laugh and said, just before church, he caught a frog, and he didn't want to come to church. And I told him that frog will be there, and so put that frog in a jar, and sure enough, the Lord showed you a frog in the jar. That boy never forgot that. And when he got married, he wanted me to do the wedding for him. I remember the time I saw the TV screen move up and I saw a boy being hit on a bicycle. And sure enough, I got to church that night and there was a boy in a coma and the Lord revealed that he would be delivered. The time in my church when I saw these boys that were cutting up and one of them, the Lord revealed to me, had a pocket knife and it was used to let them know it was real and to quit fooling around like they did. The time I remember going to pray for a lady with cancer when the three men that were there with knives and was in a motorcycle gang and the Lord revealed to me one of them had a daughter and was very troubled about it and I let him know it and he denied it. It was one of the first times I'd ever been challenged and I challenged him back and it came to pass it was true. The time I remember one night in church when people were at the altar and I looked over and saw this lady I didn't know very well and the name Lester came to me and I walked up and said, "Who's Lester?" And I say this to only emphasize the point, please, that they're all different. Sure enough, she had a husband named Lester and it worked out that this man was called and you know the rest. The time I came out and I looked at the organist and the Lord spoke to me, "Bobby." And I said, "Who's Bobby?" And she said, "It's my sister. She's in a mental institution." The Lord revealed to me that she would be healed. And she was. And she came to our church a few months later and said, "Hi, I'm Bobby." It was quite stirring. I remember at a youth rally when the Lord spoke to me and said, "There's down at the altar, someone here named Ben is called to preach." And I stopped and said, "Where's Ben? You're called to preach." And I was standing next to this gentleman I didn't know. He said, "I'm Ben. And I've been fighting the call." The time I remember going to a church and before I got there, the Lord gave me a vision of a woman in a green checkered dress, seeing her laying on the bed, crying over her family. And I shared with the people that were there that there'll be a woman come in with this outfit. And it came to pass. I preached there 20 years later. She still had the dress, but she brought it and framed it and said, "But I can't fit in anymore, but I've still remembered it." The time the lady was in the church and I was told she couldn't have children and she was 550 pounds, but the Lord told me to tell her, "You're going to have a baby." And I, like Abraham, said, "There's no way." And sure enough, I went ahead and prophesied, but I did it in a way that made it general. But she called me 2 days later from the doctor's office and said, "What's wrong, Judy?" She was crying and said, "I was just not feeling well. And before we went on vacation, my husband wanted me to go to the doctor. And he told me, 'We're not going on vacation. You're 8.5 months pregnant.'" She didn't know she was pregnant and the prophecy came to pass. Or I could talk about Becky when I said to you, "Becky, the Lord shows me that you're going to be getting some good news." And you called me up a few weeks later and said that the good news came. Let me stop. All of these are different. There are none that are the same. And as I began to compare with them in the Bible, and I'm not trying to in any way liken myself to those great men in the Bible, I learned from these experiences that I have personally learned from reading these experiences that they're all different, but they're all new. And that's what God wants to happen in your life, that your relationships stay new. The manna that God sent out every day was new. And if you kept the manna very long, it got to smelling rather yucky. And that's true in our life. If you don't get a fresh word from the Lord, it can get rather smelly. Numbers 16, verse 30 says, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." That's what God told them. 2 minutes later, the earth opened up and swallowed them, and everybody said, "God just did a new thing." But the only newness is really in the Lord. If you look for newness in the world, it says in Judges 5:8 that they chose new gods. And may God give us understanding that I'm not to look for a new God, but I'm looking to receive new things from God and to keep my relationship fresh and new with Him and don't let it get old. Anything can get old. friendships can get old. Your relationship with God can get old. The relationship in the marriage can get old. Oh God, help us to keep it new. I'm not looking for new ways to serve God or new strategies. Because the time you come up with a strategy, God's liable to give you a new strategy like he did Israel. They thought if they had new cords, they could bring the Ark of the Covenant in. But the new cords didn't work. They thought if they had new cords, they could bind Samson, but it didn't work. What I want is new things from God, fresh things from God. And I began to notice in the Word that it challenged me. How am I going to get new things from God? And this is not a formula, but it is biblical nonetheless. Psalms 33:3, sing unto the Lord a new song. I sang a new song to the Lord tonight. We're going into battle. Glory. Psalms 40 verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth. This is David, a man after God's own heart. But if you're to be a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart, listen to what David said. He put a new song in my mouth. Psalms 96, 1. I sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalms 98, 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalms 144, 9. I will sing unto the Lord a new song. Psalms 149, 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. How many times, it's a good thing I don't get embarrassed easy. There's been so many times I'm driving down the road and I'm singing a new song unto the Lord and somebody's looking at me. Thank God for the cell phone. Now they think at least I'm talking to somebody. Proverbs 3:9 says, the presses burst out with new wine. Oh God, let a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. It's true, Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun, but that's not God. God can give new things. And especially, listen to what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 42:10. Sing unto the Lord a new song. God promises to put a new spirit within us. God says, I'll give you a new heart. And he calls it a new covenant. Jeremiah 31:22 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. You see, God is in the new and into keeping things fresh. And one we know so well, Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Do you know tomorrow you can have something new? His mercies. You say, well, I don't need his mercies. Then your relationship's gotten old. You need new mercies. And oh, I'm looking forward to getting a new touch in the morning. Ezekiel 11:19, the prophet said, I will put a new spirit within you. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, our text, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. But this is the part I want us to focus our attention on. Behold, all things become new. Isn't it true when you become a new creature in Christ, everything seems to be different and new? God help us to keep that newness, even after you've lived for the Lord many years. I want to keep my marriage new. I want to keep my relationships new. How we are so nice to people when we first meet them. But let us keep it new. Let us keep those nice, warm attitudes and not let it get old. Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Let me tell you, he said, what's important, a new creature. Ephesians 2:15, in himself of twain, one new man. Ephesians, that says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. But you can't put on the new man until you take off the old man. Don't put on the old man, but put on the new man. And Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And yes, Romans says that we are to let our minds be renewed. Hebrews 10:20, it talks about a new and a living way. You know why we need to keep it new? Because Revelation 21:1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven and the new earth is for those that are new. It's going to take a new person to enjoy the new earth. I sang a new song tonight. Amen. Let's stand. Keep it new. Don't let your manna get old. Heavenly Father, we are new in Christ. Behold, all things become new. Tomorrow, Lord, is a new day. And this day is not done yet with the newness we can experience in you. Oh God, let our faith rise up and grasp this. Being saved today could be just as fresh and real and exciting as the day I first came to you. In fact, it's better, because it says the promise that the light grows brighter and brighter. Oh God, let us shake ourselves. Let us put on the new man and walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to somebody and shake their hand differently.